Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
The decision to join the U.S. military is often a personal one. You're lucky if you wind up in boot camp with someone from the same state, let alone from the same city. Well, today we're going to be bringing you the story of four brand new Marines from right here in Canby. They'll tell us all about how they got their nicknames and why they decided to serve. Spoiler alert, Full Metal Jacket was not a huge factor.
And we'll be taking you out to a brand new business in Canby, hosting their grand opening this weekend. It's Paula's Hair and Aesthetics. You know what? Just listen to it. But first, the news.
Clackamas County has spent the better part of a year studying the Canby Ferry. The process included a detailed traffic study, several well-attended public meetings, and a deep dive into the feasibility of a toll bridge at the location, an option commissioners ultimately abandoned based on public comment. The question has always been what to do with the Canby Ferry. The boat is deeply enmeshed with history, didn't say that word right, and culture of Canby, but it costs about $600,000 a year, which is three times what it brings back in passenger fees. Commissioners made it clear during their own public meeting held at Canby Four Square Church last month that a $400,000 annual subsidy for a transportation feature that serves an average of only 200 people a day is not something that they would entertain for too much longer. County Assistant Transportation Director Mike Benzer and other staff presented the finalized report to the Board of Commissioners this week. The result? No guaranteed solution, but a lot of good ideas, some of which are already being implemented.
You'll get the theme here. We envision closing that gap as being a quilt. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different things, a family of solutions, not just any one that's going to get us there. Like I say, there's lots of puzzle pieces here that we think if we implement these, that we think we can get there.
Some of these ideas include decreasing the number of ferry operators from 2 to 1, increasing the fees for punch card users and cyclist pedestrians, decreasing operating times to peak hours, and marketing the ferry, something the county doesn't really do at all right now. One thing the county is likely to pursue would be a $400,000 federal grant that would allow for telecommunications to be installed at the ferry site. This would allow, among other things, for the ferry to begin accepting credit cards and debit cards, which would not only make these transactions more secure. This change would also be very likely to broaden the ferry's potential customer base. I mean, who even carries cash in 2019? Am I right? I do. I still do. One change that would be controversial, at least here in Canby, is that the county would seek contributions from cities, and the one that the ferry is named after will be the prime target. Benzer said that a letter Canby sent to the county seemed to leave open possibilities for a cash contribution, but the amount of the ask will probably raise some eyebrows.
The only other thing I'd ask is outreach to the cities and see which cities would you anticipate you'd reach out to?
Canby.
I think Canby's the only realistic one, frankly.
Yeah. So are they willing to pony $100,000?
Haven't asked them that.
Exactly what we're asking.
All we did is prep them and saying, expect us to ask.
Staff was directed to implement various cost-reducing and revenue-raising measures for the next 6 months, then come back to the board for an update. Aldo Schroeder, the owner of Canby's Chapala Express, is showing that he can come up with more than just fun ideas for amazing things to put on cheese fries. He traveled to the Tacoma Dome Arena in Washington this week to audition for Shark Tank, a reality show where aspiring entrepreneurs pitch their business ideas to a panel of prospective investors. Aldo's idea is called Display Box, and it's patent pending, so don't even try to steal it. It's a VIP parking service for luxury car owners to stash their rides at shopping centers and the like. The realization of it would include a specially designed parking bay at select shopping centers and an app that would allow users to reserve their spots. Currently, there is no place for an owner of a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or just someone that has a nice car to park at shopping malls, Aldo explains. The parking spots are so narrow that you're afraid someone's going to hit your car. Yeah, well, I can't tell you how many times I've worried about this when I've parked my Ferrari at Fred Meyer. The upside for the owners is that the brand new Mercedes AMG SL 65 will be safe and secure under the watchful eye of a staff attendant, while also being before the eyes of the adoring public. Another benefit over the traditional valet model, Aldo says, is that the owners park and secure the vehicles themselves, minimizing the risk of theft, invasion of privacy, or accidental damage. Aldo says that he and his team plan to set up meetings with the Woodburn Premium outlets to discuss piloting the idea. Of course, an appearance on Shark Tank wouldn't hurt. Aldo auditioned Sunday along with an estimated 200 other entrepreneurs and hopefuls. Each of them got a 60-second pitch, with no indication of whether they'd be moving on. Aldo said that they were told that they'd be hearing something in the next few weeks or so. No word yet on whether the users of DisplayBox will receive a complimentary Chipotle signature carne asada fries, but I assume the answer is yes.
The Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA, has upheld the city's decision in the long-running case of the 7-acre subdivision located at the end of North Maple Street, but their ruling is now headed to the Oregon Court of Appeals. City Attorney Joe Lindsay said that the Court of Appeals scrutiny will primarily concern LUBA and whether their decision last month was in order.
It's asking for a judicial review of what LUBA did, so they're basically looking at LUBA's holding and seeing if they followed their laws and how they ruled in our favor.
The proposal was for a 22-lot subdivision designed in six phases by Canby Development LLC, which has been in the works since at least 2015. It was heard and approved unanimously by the Planning Commission in 2017 and appealed to the City Council that same year by local attorney Michael McNichols, Tony Polito, and the Friends of Northeast Maple Street. Councilors heard the case in January 2018 and they also approved it with conditions. McNichols and company then appealed to LUBA. One of the main bones of contention is over the proposed use of the Molalla Forest Logging Road, which is on city-owned land and exists within a conservation easement benefiting the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The city approved the subdivision's request to use the road for emergency access purposes, but McNichols, the petitioner and now appellant, doesn't believe the city had the legal authority to grant such a variance, and believes that this use would be out of line with the existing easement and municipal codes. Lindsay said the decision before the Court of Appeals has been expedited and is expected sometime in late April. If the court upholds LUBA's ruling, it is possible that the case could be appealed to the Oregon Supreme Court.
Police beat for the week of February 19th through the 25th. On February 20th at 1:21 a.m., a vehicle was seen crashing into a railroad crossing on Northeast 4th Avenue, then leaving the scene. I guess somebody really was upset about the proposed quiet zone. Upon arrival, officers found the suspect vehicle's front license plate stuck to the damaged gate structure. During a subsequent search of the area, officers located the vehicle and arrested the driver for driving under the influence and a hit and run. On February 23rd at 10:38 p.m., a speeding vehicle, which had been taken without permission, was stopped and ordered towed. Several juveniles involved were taken into protective custody until they could be released to a parent or guardian. On February 24th at 7:03 p.m., officers responded to a report of a loose, aggressive dog on Northeast 3rd Avenue. The dog's owner was contacted and the incident was referred to animal control. On February 25th at 1:31 p.m., officers responded to a report of identity theft after a victim learned that an unknown person had used the victim's social security information to file a false income tax return. Whoever you are out there, just know that Frankie says that you are more than welcome to do his taxes for him if you ever want. Later that same day at 6 p.m., reports of a theft after a victim made arrangements to purchase items from an individual through an online app. At the arranged time of purchase, the seller and an accomplice took the money. but ran away before providing the agreed upon items. I'm sure they're going to get a bad review on their Craigslist profile. Finally, at 6:43 p.m., two individuals who had previously been trespassed from a store on Southeast 1st Avenue returned, entered the store, gathered some items, and left without paying. Based on the description provided, an officer located the suspects nearby driving a vehicle with expired tags. This was just the first of their troubles. A traffic stop was conducted during which the driver provided a false name and date of birth to the officer. The driver was subsequently arrested for possession of heroin and methamphetamine and for providing false information to a police officer who knew that you could, you know, get in trouble for lying to the cops. The passenger was arrested on an outstanding warrant and for possession of methamphetamine and heroin, because you can't have one without the other. As officers were preparing the vehicle to be towed, they also found uncapped used needles, various items of drug paraphernalia, and store tags and containers used in the retail theft.
Don't you hate it when you're just getting caught up on your favorite show and then your video streaming service drops it without warning? Wouldn't it be cool if you could record unlimited programs at once and watch them whenever and wherever you want? Meet Easy Video from DirectLink, the only app-based TV service in Canby that includes most of the major live local broadcast channels, sports, and national networks. Easy Video is, well, easy. It's compatible with your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smartphone, and laptop, so you have more options for how and where you watch TV. And the best part of all, Easy Video members save an average of $360 a year over traditional cable. Say goodbye to HD fees, DVR fees, equipment rentals, and costly installation. Go to directlink.coop/EZV or visit them at the corner of Southeast 2nd and Juniper Street in Canby to learn more about the future of TV. So, on the Canby conversation today, I've got a bunch of guests. We're all packed into this room. I've got Hayden Kinney, Chris Dietrich, Harrison Kinney, Cole DiRicio.
Got it.
All Canby High School grads from either 2016 or 2018, and also their Staff Sergeant Gatton.
Yes, sir.
And the story here is that all of you guys are Canby High School, all joined the Marines, and wound up in the same platoon.
Correct.
Which is pretty cool. Do you guys think you'd get like a group raid or something? How did that work? They tell you you get like a referral bonus or something. Is that what you told them, Staff Sergeant?
No. So what we could do in the Marine Corps is we could put at least up to five people into the same platoon.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Buddy Program. And when I first got Harrison and then Hayden, They joined the Marines.
They're brothers, by the way.
Brothers. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then Cole came along, and then the straggler Chris came along, and they all wanted to go together. So we were able to get them all.
A little late bloomer there.
Yeah. We were able to get them all in the same platoon.
Yeah, yeah. Is that rare?
For that many people, it's rare.
Yeah.
But usually it's a buddy program, just two people.
Okay.
That's easy. Four people. It takes a little bit more work.
Yeah.
But we were able to get it done.
Yeah. What is the purpose of wanting to do that buddy program of keep maybe two guys or gals who know each other together?
So the big purpose is just to make sure, one, they know someone. Usually, if you're in it alone, you don't know anybody, you're scared,
mm-hmm.
You don't have anyone to lean on or to help challenge you a little bit more. The purpose of the buddy program, going more than one, just yourself, is if you're feeling down, you can go to that person, he can motivate you, he can help you, and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, so that brings up a question with you guys, and since there's so many of you, if you would say your name,
sure.
So people know what your voice is. Starts to sound like, but was that helpful for you in to have, you know, your either your brother or some high school friends going through this experience so far with boot camp and everything?
Yeah, this is Hayden. I would say so. Just having my brother with me just made things a lot. Like in boot camp, you're not supposed to be comfortable. You're supposed to get into that phase of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, if
right.
that makes sense. But just being with my brother and just having someone by my side and having someone to relate to and be challenged with and then go through training together just made it that much more exciting and motivating.
Yeah.
And then as well as having Dericio with me by my side and having an old buddy from middle school and from swim team just made it that much more fun, and just the camaraderie and everything was just so great during
yeah.
the camp.
You guys met in middle school?
This is Dericio, yeah. We met in middle school about 5th or 6th grade, if I remember correctly. Out here on the Campy swim team.
Yeah.
I've swam competitively for 14 years, counting the little college swim I had. But, yeah, it was a long time ago. And then I called the recruiting office one day, and I want to sign up for the Marine Corps, and got signed up.
Yeah.
Staff Sergeant Gatton, and he shoots me a text, like, about a week later. Hey, do you know a Hayden Kinney?
Never heard of him.
Why? I think so. Name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're going to MEPS to go get processed. Okay. And then I see him and I go, yeah, I do know him.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him in what?
It was like 2 years, and I was just as surprised as he was.
Yeah.
I was told we were going up to the hotel
right.
for the night before to go to MEPS, and he's like, our Staff Sergeant Gatton was saying that Dericio is going to be rooming with you. I'm like, Dericio. And I was like, what's his first name? It's Cole. I'm like, there's no way. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm waiting from.
Some other
swimming. And
some other Cole Dericio.
So it was awesome. And exactly. He was already predestined to go recon training. The guy is just awesome swimmer. And
okay, well, I was going to ask. I didn't want to start a fight, but who's the better swimmer? So.
Definitely Cole.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I sink like a rock, though.
Yeah.
Just got to keep moving. Then I'm golden. So.
Yeah. Cool. What about you guys? How was it like for you, Harrison, with your brother? Was it positive as well, or you like got sick of him picking on you like always? So,
for myself, Harrison, it was a lot of competition, which was good. They always put us against each other, which was kind of sucked at times. Then it was kind of good at times. So they kind of looked at us as like one person during boot camp.
Oh, okay.
It was always that one Kenny is the other Kenny. So get over here, Kennys. You're both going on the quarterdeck. Or you're both getting punished, or you're both getting special treatment at the same time. So it was kind of a cool thing just to go through with your brother. And like having Chris was my buddy from high school, and
you guys graduated together.
Yes,
same
we graduated
class,
in the same class.
2018
came to high school, and I just happened to sign up. Just hey, gotta go military. I didn't think college was for me. And I didn't want to go alone. Like I had Hayden, and then I was like, "Well, let's try to get some more people, get those referrals, try to get promoted." And I was just thinking, and I was like, "Ah, Chris, Diedrich, he would go." So you were doing the
recruiter's job for him.
Yeah, so just hanging out one night at his house, and I just bringing up about what we're doing next year.
Yeah, because you were talking about the Marine Corps. This is Chris, by the way. You were talking about the Marine Corps, and I talked to him like a year before, and I decided against it because the whole reason I didn't want to go through boot camp by myself.
Right.
And then I found out my buddy Harry was going from high school, and I went to PT that Saturday with him and got like all started the sign-up process.
Cool.
Like the same week.
Yeah. Yeah. What made you nervous or made you think you didn't want to do boot camp?
I just, like, after full seeing Full Metal Jacket and everything, I definitely didn't want to go by myself because I just thought that would suck really hard to be like by myself for 3 months.
Right.
And when I found out Harry was going, I was like, oh, that'll be like cheese to go through with him together. Yeah. And like, then I wasn't even worried at all. So
was it though?
I was wrong.
Let's be real.
You were wrong. Yeah.
But it definitely helped having like, because I got to know Hayden, I got to know Dericio as well. Mm-hmm. And Hayden's obviously Harry's brother, so we got along.
Yeah.
And then they hung out with Dericio, so they're obviously like Dericio, so we got along as well.
Yeah.
So I got to make friends from it, so
yeah.
It helped out a lot, actually.
Are there Canby things or like just things from life of you guys growing up together or knowing each other from school that come up or that came up during your experience, you know, that like sort of that shared in joke or things like that? Things you're able to draw on?
I mean, this is Dericio again, by the way, but the whole time through boot camp, the three months, the drill instructors didn't know, and they knew the Kinney brothers, but Dietrich and I, they had no idea we all knew each other until last week.
Yeah.
We kept it under wraps.
Yeah, we didn't want anyone to know.
Oh.
They knew we'd all get tortured together.
Okay, you just wanted it to be the case.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as they figured out, you know, the Kinneys, then they'd be like, Kinney, and then they'd both go, here, sir, and then they'd...
Right.
They'd be off to do whatever, and okay. Dietrich and I make eye contact and go
they
like
just,
this, shake our heads.
Throw them under the bus. So.
Yeah, you know, hey, made it better.
You saved their butts so many times.
Yeah,
like.
I bet. Yeah.
Oh, they easily. They could have been like, oh, yeah, I went to school with Dericio, and then it would have been us three, and then
right.
We all would have turned on Chris.
Yeah, of course. Like, there's no way he's getting out of it, right?
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah,
of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Harrison. We definitely had some good times at boot camp. Just for example, just the four of us were doing this McMap training, which is martial arts training for the Marines, and we were going through with our training that day, and we're all just kind of screwing around in the back, kind of like hiding behind everybody, and then Hayden gets called out and is like,
Chris is trying to like disappear into his jacket.
He's like, oh, you think this is a game, huh? And calls him up in front of everybody out of the whole 300.
Let me stop you.
Recruits that
so
were there.
We weren't screwing around. We were talking while the McMap instructor was talking, which is a big no-no in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole respect thing is huge in the Marine Corps, and it was just a time that we were just being disrespectful
phase
in a long time,
wrong
place.
Phase
one recruits. So we were just getting used to all the discipline and, you know, just being respectful in certain times, and he ended up seeing myself talk and called me out, and he said, who else was talking? And of course, you know, honesty and integrity comes in. So
of course.
So you have to tell the truth.
We don't
want core values of the Marine Corps.
We don't want dishonest people representing our country.
Exactly.
No,
we were called out in front of everybody, and the real discipline came in after we were being PT'd.
Uh-huh.
But you know, through PT, you know, you get stronger and you learn what discipline is, and
yeah, it's just get even better.
It's great in the end. So.
And the big thing you learn from boot camp is pain retains. So
pain
anytime
retains.
You're not learning something fast enough, pain retains.
Pain helps.
Yeah. Pain retains.
Is boot camp as bad as I imagine it to be?
Wasn't that bad for all of us going
I've
together.
Seen Full Metal Jacket as well.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Anytime the going got rough, you just look over and see like one of the people you shipped with and be like, ah, you're suffering too, and then
you
realize like, they're struggling just as hard as you, and you're like, all right, as long as you're suffering too, like, I'm happy.
Yeah, or like, well, if he can do it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember we were up north at Ensign Range at Camp Pendleton during phase three, and a very welcome exercise in the Marine Corps is ammo can lifts.
Okay.
You know, so take it, push it above your head, bring it back down.
How much are those? What should they?
35 pounds.
Okay.
So get them and you're just going, and at that point in time you live in a squad bay.
Yeah.
And across the squad bay was his rep.
Yeah.
His bed. And
Hayden's.
Sorry, I got absorbed in the story.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's right, they can't see us. So Hayden Kinney was right across from me, and we're just sweating and going.
Yeah.
Pushing him up, and I look over, and he's sweating just as much.
Right.
We make eye contact, and we're just, okay, whatever, keep going.
Yeah.
And it's that mentality the whole time through boot camp.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you're doing, you look over and you go, all right, okay. And you just, hunker down and keep going.
Yeah. Where did that determination come from for you, Hayden?
I think just knowing that, just being ready for the challenge, I think, and just wanting to be the best that you can be. And to like sum up boot camp in three words, I would just say, like, embrace the suck is the whole thing.
I've heard that, yeah.
That's really what it is. And just doing what they want you to do, I think, and really holding on to discipline and, like, learning what that is fast. And for those that didn't are the ones that suffered the most.
Yeah.
And also made the platoon suffer the most.
Right.
The majority of the time.
Yeah.
So I think, like, once you get a grasp of what that is, you get a lot more motivated, because then you start to get to a higher level in your training, and you start figuring things out, and you're like, okay, like, I'm good at this, and I can do this, like, I can accomplish this. And I think for a lot of people, they didn't have that mindset of what they could accomplish or know their limits.
Yeah.
And once you figure those out, like, the sky's the limit in your training, and it's that just that much more exciting.
Cool.
So, well, I think that's, like, what
confidence is
confidence.
Key.
Yeah.
Confidence is key.
Yeah.
As soon as you start to feel it, I mean, whether it's with knowledge or with PT or even drill.
Yeah.
Once you figure it out and you start, you know, screaming the ditties or doing whatever, boot camp starts to fly.
Sure. Cool. Once you hit that point. I wanted to ask you guys, maybe individually, it's cool because it sounds like your decision to join up with the military maybe was a little bit influenced by each other, but it seemed like the core of it was personal to each one of you. So I wanted to ask, you know, like, seeing other people join like that helped. Okay, I'll definitely do it. But it sounds like it started from somewhere else. Can you guys describe what led to that decision for you? Let's start with Chris.
For me, it was getting to the end of high school. So,
since he was the last one.
Yeah. It was getting to the end of high school, and I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. And I figured I could join the Marine Corps or join the military in general. I didn't really, like, have a preference what branch until I found out he was joining the Marine Corps, obviously. So I figured I'd join the military, learn how to do something. You get benefits from it, like tuition assistance or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then I figured I'd get out and take advantage of all that and go to college. And then hopefully after 4 years in the military, I'd know what I want to do.
Yeah, sort of looking for that purpose.
Yeah, I kind of just use it as, like, a buffer and just take a time to learn how to do something, save up money.
Yeah, what job?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Tell
me. My MOS is engineering equipment operator, so I'll actually learn how to use, like, heavy equipment. Building barracks or schools or digging trenches, something like that.
Cool.
Something I can take into the civilian sector as well. So when I'm done in the military, I'll have a job.
Yeah.
In the civilian life. So
yeah. Yeah.
That helps out a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something that people don't realize, like all the usable work skills that you get from the military. It's not just like, here's a gun. Like,
yeah,
I think some people in the public think that these are like non-transferable skills, but a lot of them are.
You can definitely take what you learn in the military and bring it with you back into civilian life if you get the right MOS.
Yeah, yeah, and especially just the discipline and a lot of that stuff carries over as
and
well.
Even after that, you'll be able to take on anything you get, so
you'll
be all right.
Who's next?
Okay.
This
is Hayden. So, after I graduated from Canby High School, I was awarded a scholarship to Warner Pacific University.
Yeah.
And originally, my plan for my career was to be a sports chiropractor.
Yeah, because you guys graduated 2 years earlier than these guys. So,
yes,
So, I got, I started a bachelor's degree in kinesiology, exercise science.
Okay.
And I did about a year and a half worth of school and just decided that college wasn't for me at the time.
Okay.
And just the expenses and all that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
it's scary. It's like,
it was for sure. Yeah,
so
fast. And then I decided I was going to take a 6 month gap, and I just didn't really know what I wanted to do at that time. I still was kind of on the. Actually, let me back up a little bit. I went to CCC as well because college was cheaper, and I did a internship with Dr. Dewar here in town. He's a chiropractor for about 8 months.
Yeah, for sure. I know Dave.
And he told me to go community college to get my credits. So it wasn't an exact degree, but I just bust out the classes I needed. And then transfer over to University of Western States for my doctorate in chiropractic.
Yeah.
So I was all gung-ho for that. And then just something just, like, the switch just flipped for me and decided that college wasn't for me at the time. And I've always kind of, I've always actually felt that I wanted to serve. And just do something great and different. And not that your education is awesome and, you know, education is super important. I still do want to pursue college.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to do something a little different in my life and get outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And just get out there. And originally I went to the Army recruiting station.
And okay, now the staff sergeant again stepped out. You'll say that.
And decided that I would go knock on the door of the Marine Corps office. And, ended up talking to Staff Sergeant Gatton, and we talked for about an hour and a half. And you know, the Marine Corps was super motivating.
Yeah.
And from there on, I just decided, like, let's do it, and signed the papers. And from just from like from there to now, just like my reason for joining has been just like that much greater.
Yeah.
And Harrison decided to join. He actually was talking to Staff Sergeant Gatton before me.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like what you said as far as like the wanting the challenge and that kind of eliteness is kind of the Marines thing, I feel like, sure. Among the branches. Definitely. It seems to be, so.
Definitely.
Yeah. Can you guys have military history in your family, or?
This is Harrison. Not really. We have our grandpa, which who served in the Navy, but
World War II or Korea?
No, he never made it that far. He made it through boot camp in about a month, or a base. He made it through basic training in about a month. I don't know where they got from basic to their job training.
He was medically discharged.
And he ended up getting in a fight, and back then, fighting wasn't a huge deal. So he ended up breaking his wrist and got medically discharged.
Okay.
So that's about all the military we have in our family.
Yeah. What about your decision? You were already talking to the Marine recruiter before your brother.
Yeah, so it was coming to the end of high school, and I was actually really wanted to go to college, so it was stuck between OSU and GCU, Grand Canyon University.
Yeah.
And I had chose Grand Canyon University, and I was all signed up. Actually, the day I was signing up for my dorm room, I took a little break, went to Costco with my mom,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking, just like halfway walking through Costco, I was like, what am I doing? I'm not doing the right thing.
Wow.
Like, I just kind of felt a calling for, like, the military, I guess you could say.
Yeah. You know, every time I go to Costco, I regret my life decisions. So I hear you. Huh? Yeah, every time. Yeah.
So, after a couple samples.
Just
samples.
Yeah, exactly. Samples. What am I doing?
Ten sample cards here.
Like, exactly. I can tell you the number of times, anyway.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm just walking through Costco, and I bring it up to my mom. I'm like, hey, Mom, I think I'm going to hold off on this whole Grand Canyon thing, and I think I'm going to go talk. I wasn't set on the Marines at first, actually.
Okay.
Not to discard the Marines or anything, but this just wasn't my first choice.
Yeah.
So I went and started talking to all the recruiters. My mom wanted me to talk to all of the...
Branches.
Yes, thank you, Hayden. All of the branches before I made a decision. So I first went Air Force, and it just didn't work out. They actually never called me back.
Well, Air Force, if you're listening,
And then I met with the Navy, and I just felt... It just didn't feel right, I guess, off gut feeling. It's kind of got a weird vibe from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hayden was talking to the Army.
Wow, we're just going and after the other branches here.
The other
branches. I know.
Other branches, we love you.
I know.
Hayden was talking to the Army, and I couldn't do the same thing Hayden was doing, so I just totally skipped over the Army.
Yeah.
And the Coast Guard, too, because we love the Coast Guard, but this wasn't for me.
Yeah. This is weird. I've never heard Marines like just be really proud of their own branch and like kind of crap on other branches. I've never seen that before. So that's totally new to me. But
this is Staff Sergeant again. Quick story about Harrison. We actually met in the summer of 2017 at the rodeo here in Canby, and we had a little booth. Mm-hmm. And I ran up to him, talked to him because he looked fit and Marine type, and he gave me his number. And speaking of the Air Force never calling him back, I called him and he didn't call me back like 3 times.
Oh.
So I was really surprised he actually came.
Even I didn't know that.
Yeah. Scumbag.
Dang.
What the heck, man? Come on, confessional.
He just needed extra support from his big brother.
That's it.
Maybe so. So anyways, I believe...
He finally learned how to work the phone.
I believe Staff Sergeant Gatton... I think it was Facebook, wasn't it, Staff Sergeant Gatton?
Yes, it was.
And
that's what it is with the millennials. You got it.
He said, give me a call. And I was sitting in the Canby High School parking lot, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I answered the phone and just started talking to him, and then we set up a meeting. And I went in, I think, the following day or the day after, and we just had a good discussion for about an hour or so. And I just knew at that time that it was right. he asked me, do you want to be a Marine? And I was, yes, sir.
Cool.
So it kind of just happened. And then went home, talked to my parents about it, and they were like, whoa, that was a fast decision.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Well, I think that's everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Skip over the most interesting guy.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Come on. Yeah,
Recon Ricky, right?
Ah, Ricky Rii. That's what they call me in boot camp. Yeah. But, so...
What did they call you?
Ricky Recon.
Okay.
Because my MOS is a reconnaissance MOS.
Okay. And Ricky is not your name.
Ricky is... Nobody in my family's even named Ricky. But,
okay. Well,
it sounded good.
Sounds right.
Ricky Recon.
Ricky. But, sitting on family, I had my grandfather was in the Marine Corps in 1950. He fought for 3 years in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a line there, and I've had some other family.
Marines were very involved in Korea. They did a lot.
Very.
Yeah.
Very involved.
Yeah.
Reinforced the army a couple times.
Yeah.
Took over some cities. But that was a major reason for me personally joining the Marine Corps.
Mm.
But out of high school, I swam here in Canby at the pool forever. Like, I was 5 years old when I started the Penguin Club.
Okay, yeah.
And I had the same coach all through my whole time, Nathan Templeman.
Uh-huh.
Great guy, great coach. But doing that, and then out of high school, I got a swim scholarship to Simon Fraser University in Canada, Burnaby, BC.
Yeah.
And I had to make a decision. I was always going to be Marine Corps,
mm-hmm.
all the way. I mean, if I was going to join a branch, it was going to be the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I only got the swim scholarship, and I'm fit right now. Should I go to the swim scholarship? Should I do the Marine Corps? And it was a hard decision, but
sure.
Marine Corps was going to live on for a long time, long after we're all gone, but we're out of it. So I decided to take the swim scholarship, and like Hayden, wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Went through, did two, year and a half, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And just the environment wasn't for me.
Okay.
Degree was in political science.
Yeah.
I like to argue.
Yeah, right.
I'm good at it.
Yeah.
but other than that, I just wasn't feeling it at the time, and I came back and got a job here in town, and then I decided, you know what? It's time. So I gave the recruiting office a call and talked to Staff Sergeant Gadden and set up a meeting and went in there and going off everybody on like challenge.
Yeah.
They have a good tool to use. It's a bunch of placards.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, you know, professional development, leadership skills, challenge. And they throw it onto the table and they go, you know, rank these in what you want.
Yeah.
What do you want out of the Marine Corps? What do you want in life?
Yeah.
Right? And so you get them on. There's like educational opportunities. A job, I think was one of them.
Sure.
Travel.
Benefits. All that. Mm-hmm. And this is before I picked my MOS, or at least threw it out there to see what I could get. And I believe challenge was like number two or three on my list.
Mm.
And the MOS that I got, from what I hear, is very challenging.
Yeah.
One of the hardest ones in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally.
Sure. What kind of stuff do you do with recon?
It's almost, I wouldn't want to say special forces, because it's where you fall into MARSOC, which is kind of the special forces of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
But it's very, they're highly trained. They get to go to jump school. They do a lot of cross training with other branches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just that next level of infantry training, which I kind of wanted. It kept, put my mother's mind at ease rather than just being a 0311 rifleman.
Okay.
And having a higher level of training, she think, I'm going to be safer.
Okay, right? Yeah.
And so put her at rest a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. She wanted me to, you know, maybe go admin or cook, right, something like that. Would have been her preference, but...
Yeah. Probably some good nicknames in those MOSs as well. So
probably, but Ricky Recon. It was good.
That's hard to beat.
And just so everyone knows, Ricky Recon's wearing his combat boots as we speak, with his dog tagging him and everything.
He's ready to go. So
they're very comfortable. If you're worried about footwear,
it's
very comfortable.
They look pretty comfortable.
Like you just stepped off the depot.
I should have put my boot bands on.
Those are the combats or the jungles?
The combats.
Well, we're almost out of time. you guys are here on leave, and you're not going to be stationed in Canby, for sure. So
no.
Do you know what your platoon's going to do, or what you'll be doing, where you'll be, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so we're going back Tuesday, and we check in SOI, and it stands for School of Infantry. And for us, Harry, me, and Chris, we're going to be checking into MCT, which is Marine Corps. It's Marine Combat Training. Okay. So for MMOSs that are non-combat, I guess you could say. And then they also
non-infantry MMOSs.
Non-infantry, basically. So for me, I'm 7011 Expeditionary Airfield Technician, so I'll be working on, like, airfield arresters and stuff for planes that are coming down and traveling. And then Harry has heli crewman. So, I mean, his is kind of in between. He could be...
Nobody can drive me around.
Like, yeah, exactly. But Ricky Recon over here, he's going to ITB, and that's Infantry Training Battalion, so he'll be doing all the... That's essentially his MOS school.
Cool.
So that's what we'll be checking into next, and that's for a month. And then straight from there, we're going to be flying out to our MOS schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys like it more than college.
So. Yeah. Or already do.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking for the group, but...
Yeah.
I love it.
Awesome. All right.
If you have any more questions, be sure to call Staff Sergeant Gatton up in Oregon City.
There you go. Nice little plug.
Exactly. Go check him out.
Yeah. He'll hook you up.
PT on Saturdays at
10
to 12.
10 to 12.
If
you're ready to get fit for the Marine Corps, come check out Camby CrossFit.
Oh, again with the plugs. Well, thank you guys so much. This was really fun. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for your service.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability, with a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people.
And also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com.
True story. When we first started the Can Be Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers. Just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who will deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com.
We're gonna have baby in the background.
Yeah, that's okay. Babies are cool. So I am out and about with the team at the new Paula's Hair and Aesthetics on Highway 99E. Can you tell me your name?
My name is Paula Smith, and I've been in the area for about 18 years.
So you are the Paula.
I am Paula's the Hair. Paula of Paula's Hair.
So go ahead, tell me a little about your story and how you wound up here.
So I wound up here. I worked in different areas around the area, from Colton clear out to Oregon City, out to Wilsonville, back to Canby.
Been doing hair and aesthetics.
The A in front of the aesthetics is advanced, for those that you don't understand.
Okay.
So I can do other services that...
So it's aesthetics, not aesthetics, which is what I said.
Yes.
Okay.
So therefore, I'm able to perform other services that normal aesthetics cannot do.
I don't know what that means.
A basic aesthetic person can do facials, they can do waxing, they can do, you know, microdermabrasions, where I'm able to do other services like microneedling and chemical peels, and eventually do laser hair removal, contouring, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Okay, you're just scaring me now, so.
Tattoo removal's in there, too.
Oh, really? Cool, that's interesting.
Yes.
How did you learn to do that kind of stuff?
I went back to school, and because I was very interested, and I went back to school and took the classes, and so that's how I got into it.
So you guys just opened here. You actually have a grand opening event coming up in a couple days. Can you tell me about it?
We are opening, doing a grand opening March 16th.
Saturday.
Saturday from 10 to 3.
Okay.
And we have a lot of raffle drawings and conditioning treatments. We're going to do some haircuts.
Do some on-site tattoo removal?
Not yet. I don't have the machine for that yet.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I get the machine, I'll do that too. here soon, we're going to be offering hot shaves, barbering, that.
Yeah.
We are both, Megan and I are both licensed in all of the stuff that we offer here.
Yeah, awesome. And Megan's here. She keeps whispering and not talking. But.
Yes, yes. I'm the woman behind the woman.
Oh.
Yes.
What's your name?
I'm Megan Billings, or Megan Luoma for people from Cambie. I actually went to Cambie High School.
Oh, cool.
Grew up in the area. Yes, right? Yeah. Now, you know, Oregon City and Wilsonville is where the family's at, so we've kind of spread out from Cambie, but I don't know. We always come back. I'm working here, so you always come back to Cambie.
Awesome. So, Paula, what made you decide to open up your business and invest in our community here in Cambie? And thanks for doing that, by the way.
It just got to the point that, you know, you can work for people for so long, and then it's time to branch out and discover the new life.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I love your studio here. It's very bright. It's very nice what you guys have done here, and I love your logo and your kind of design that you're going with. It's very professional and
cool
looking. So come out this Saturday and
check us out.
Yeah.
We will also be having cookies.
Yeah, we'll have like in the morning mimosas, in the afternoon some wine, light snacks. There'll be like tattoos and balloons for kids so the whole family can come.
Okay.
Free blowouts and conditioning treatments for long hair and haircuts for short hair.
So I wasn't interested until you said wine and mimosas. So now you got me. So thank you guys so much. It's so fun to talk to you. And thanks for telling me a little bit about what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Paula's Hair and Aesthetics is located at 385 Southwest First Avenue. Their phone number is 503-266-8000. This weekend in Cambie, no school this Friday, so the Book Nook is hosting a kids' craft day from 11 to 2. Remember perler beads? It combines the love of little plastic beads with the love of melting things. The craft day includes Harry Potter and Pokemon themed projects, $5 per character, cash only. Once you've got all your Pikachus and Golden Snitches, head over to the FOB Tap Room as they debut something entirely new, live music. Check that out between 5:30 and 7:30. On Saturday is a teen escape room at the Cambie Public Library. Think you got what it takes to escape? Check it out between 3 and 4:30. I wonder if they'll take my 3-year-old. He's almost a teen, right? And later, it's a big one at 5:30 as the Clackamas County Fairgrounds holds its annual fair and Cambie Rodeo Court Coronation. The event includes a silent and oral auction, plus dinner for $20. Tickets can be purchased at the door. For the latest events or to submit your own, visit cambienowpod.com/calendar.
For someone who enjoys a well-brewed craft beverage at the end of a day, living in the Willamette Valley is like living in paradise. There are literally hundreds of craft breweries, wineries, and cider presses producing amazing stuff right here in our region, and it can be a little overwhelming, but it's also exciting, if you have the right guide.
That's why we love visiting the FOB Tap Room in Cambie Place on Southwest Berg Parkway. They have over 36 taps of the absolute best craft beer, ciders, and wines, which are constantly rotating in a wide variety of styles. And their friendly staff has the expertise to recommend something you're guaranteed to love. They've got an awesome trivia night every Wednesday and other events happening all the time, so be sure to connect with them on Facebook so you don't miss out. See you at the FOB.
This is Sarah Spoon from Cambie's own residential real estate company, Victory Point Property Group, with your Cambie real estate update for the week of March 10th, 2019. Last week, 9 homes in Cambie were listed. 10 homes went sale pending with an average 43 days on the market. 3 homes sold with an average sales price of $499,667 and an average of 15 days on the market. Overall days on the market for all listings are holding at 125, up 2 days since February 1st. If you'd like to know how much your home could sell for, or if you're interested in purchasing a home, we're your local experts. You can find us at www.victorypointhomes.com or 503-263-4700.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, the Kenny Boys, Motor T, and Ricky Recon, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. If you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episode.
In our next show, we'll be reprising two of our most popular segments ever. I mean, one of them we've never done before, but I'm sure it'll be popular. We'll be bringing you the return of Yap at the Tap as we sit down with Mayor Brian Hodson at the FOB Tap Room to discuss some of the city's most pressing issues and some of its tastiest beer. And the new segment? Well, you'll just have to tune in to find out.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, CanBeNowPod.com.